Good evening. I call to order this April 9th, 2024 meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I am Mindy Rump, the Mayor of Blair, and I am pleased you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting, and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. I want you to feel as comfortable as possible, and I will do everything that I can do to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting, and I ask that you keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phones if you need to take a call. Step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I will recognize you, and you can come forward to the podium. The city clerk must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. And please direct your remarks to either me, the city council, or the city staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin with the roll call of members.
Paper?
Here.
Paulson?
Here.
Anderson?
Here.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis?
Here.
Sample?
Here.
Ferrari?
Here.
Highfield?
Here.
All members are present.
Thank you. Now, if you please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number 4, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 5. This is exciting. I'm going to present a plaque to Don Hansen for his service and dedication as a member of the Planning Commission. Don, would you come forward?
Don has served on the Planning Commission for 40 years. 40 years, which is incredible.
Recognition and appreciation of your loyal and dedicated service as a member of the Blair Planning Commission from September 27th, 1983 to October 5th, 2023. Thank you very much. I believe you actually served on the Planning Commission with my grandfather as well.
Yeah, he was chairman when I first started.
Very good, very good. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Don, if you want the box, it's up here. Thank you, Ben. Item number 6. We are going to swear in our new police officers, Joshua Bailey and Justin Jorgensen. Would you come forward? Can we, is it okay if we move the podium? Thank you.
Raise your right hand. Okay, repeat after me, okay? I. Please state your names.
Justice
Robinson. Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Nebraska.
And the Constitution of the State of Nebraska.
And the ordinances of the City of Blair, Nebraska.
And the ordinances of the City of Blair, Nebraska.
I know, that's full up. Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And perform faithfully and impartially.
And perform faithfully and impartially.
The duties of a police officer.
The duties of a police officer.
According to the law.
According to the law.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you very much. Welcome. Thank you. Congratulations.
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 Now you can call yourself a real officer.
Yay!
Jamie has a short presentation for you.
I'd like to present each of you with our new chaplain coin. And on the front side is our chaplain shield. And it has the blue cross and thin blue line. And this represents that we are praying for you and that we care about you. We're here as resources for you and your family members, as well as the people who you come in contact with on your calls, as well as for a resource for the department and in the city of Blair and the county of Orange. I picked out this verse for the coin, Psalm 3:3. You, O Lord, are shield around me. And so may you live that verse and remember that verse each and every day. On the back side, on the other side of it, there is a picture, an image of St. Michael, the archangel. And as one of the archangels, he is the chief of the angels, or a great captain of the angels, a leader of the heavenly hosts, and he's the commander of God's army. And he is mentioned in the Bible a couple of times, but there's one reference in the book of Revelation. He, St. Michael and his angels at the end of the age, they go to battle and fight against Satan and his angels. And St. Michael defeats the devil, and Satan and his angels are thrown down and cast out of heaven forever. The verses on the rim, on the outer rim, are actually prayer petitions to the prayer to St. Michael. Defend us in battle and be our protection. And so as you get sworn in tonight, our prayer for you and our blessing for you and your fellow police officers is that the Lord would be a shield around you, and that the Lord would defend you in battle and be your protection against the forces of evil. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Just one more.
It makes guys smile.
Thank you. Item number 7. Consider ordinance 2525 on second reading, annexing and extending the corporate limits of the city of Blair to include the real estate, which is generally described as tax lots 252 and 280 in section 13, township 18 north, range 11, tax lots 15, 42, 43, 47, and 48 in section 18, township 18 north, range 12, and tax lots 66 and 67 in section 19, township 18 north, range 12, all east of the 6th prime meridian, including those portions of County Road P35A adjoining the above listed tax lots in Washington County, Nebraska. Mr. Byerman.
Thank you, Mayor Rumpfwellen. Good evening, council members. This would be the second of three required readings for the annexation of primarily the ARP land, one church and the one vacant lot along Highway 75 south of Blair. This shows the different tax lots. Our current city limits are right here. South 10th Street is the new South 10th Street there. This is basically all ag land right now with the church at these two tax lots and empty lot here at tax lot 48. This will extend across P35A, which runs into the Cargo Complex. These are two other tax lots on there. Here's all the language. Nothing else has changed since the first reading. We have not received any correspondence on this since the first reading. And then just for you and everybody else in the audience, this does show in red the new annexation, which will take effect after the final reading next week. Any questions for staff?
Any comments from the public? Having none, would someone like to introduce?
I'll introduce ordinance 2525.
An ordinance of the City of Blair, Nebraska, annexing and extending the corporate limits of the City of Blair to include the real estate, which is generally described as tax lot 252 and 280 and section 13, township 18, North Range 11, tax lots 15, 42, 43, 47, 48, section 18, township 18, North Range 12, and tax lots 66 and 67, section 19, township 18, North Range 12, all east of the 6 p.m., including this portion of County Road 235A and this Highway 75, joining the above list of tax lots in Washington County, Nebraska, which is more specifically described here and after in this ordinance, repealing all ordinance parts of ordinance conflict here, with providing this ordinance should be full of course in effect, and providing the publication of this ordinance in pamphlet form.
Oh. I move passage of ordinance 2525 on second reading.
Second.
Question.
Question before the council is, shall ordinance number 2525 be passed and adopted on second reading? Please register your vote.
All councilmembers present, voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2525 passed on second reading. Item number 8. Consider ordinance 2528 amending the Blair Municipal Code, Chapter 5, Article 2, Section 5-203 in reference to truck routes on 10th Street. Mr. Heaton.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So yeah, as the Mayor mentioned, this is over the request a couple weeks ago from the Transportation Committee to add 10th Street to our list of the no truck routes. So what we have proposed tonight is to outlaw trucks from Washington Street on South Street, the 10th Street south to about 900 feet north of Wilbur Street. That will allow for any trucks that may need to go into that industrial track north of the current Dollar General building. Pretty straightforward change in this. Earlier this spring, late winter, there were some sections of 10th Street just south of Lincoln that had failed. So the street department replaced several panels this spring, and we've had temporary no trucks on that since then, just to prevent any further damage. Those two blocks south of Washington Street are just not built up enough to the standards to allow trucks on them right now. And so we had discussed with the Transportation Committee that in the future, if this is something that the council would like to reconsider, we'd probably have to look at improving that street with the intersection at 10th and Washington. Any questions?
CJ, it kind of feels like this should be a path. I understand the street can't support it right now, but isn't this supposed to be a street supporting traffic in and out of that area for the office park district and all that kind of stuff? I mean, is this going to be on the 1 and 6 year plan?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's really necessary per se that it has to be a truck route. Keep in mind, any local businesses that are there for deliveries and some things like that will continue to get deliveries. The challenge is, again, because of all the really heavy stuff, especially the Dollar General store way south, to try to keep them from going, you know, any farther north than what they need to.
So where is the sign going to be to tell them not to turn right?
Yeah, well, and we've talked about it basically, because anybody coming out of Dollar General right now should be going south, because Wilbur itself is not a truck route. Okay. And so, you know, there may be, depending upon what development gets done on that one empty lot that's still north of them now, where, you know, Big Ox at one time had looked at going. There'll obviously be some trucks that would be coming up from the highway on 10th Street up into that particular lot. But ultimately, everybody who leaves really needs to turn left, go south, go back down the highway.
Yeah, it just seems like a long way to get to I-29 is my point there, right? So.
But, I mean, you're only talking a couple blocks for them to head back south, hit the highway. And that, you know, long term, that is going to be the designated, you know, access route for trucks.
Is they get to 75. Okay.
To turn on, if they're by McDonald's, to turn on there, it's painful to watch them to turn on there. I mean, they back up traffic, they have to go in the second lane. It's a disaster every time I've seen
it. It's not made for it.
No.
The islands cause a lot of headaches.
Right.
And that doesn't mean sometime in the future that a council might
No, but I mean, as long as I've sat here, I mean, 10th Street was kind of designated for the route to get from Main Street to the Highway 75 with the extension, so it seems now we're cutting off for, I get truck traffic, but that seems like we probably better start looking at what that's going to need to be.
Yeah, I agree with you, Brad. It seems like, you know, if I was a Dollar General and we're going to get the North Bypass done, you know, that's going to be a way to get around to that too, instead of going all the way through town. So, you know, up 10th, and you go east and then up the North Bypass, yeah, if you're going to do that.
But I agree, it's a temporary thing. The street crumbling, don't want trucks on it, but it seems like something we probably better start looking at the cost of.
I don't think we need to do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. Well, then, yeah. And I guess ultimately the council's going to have to decide whether you want to just tell people go 3 blocks over to 13th. That's what, you know, that major highway is designed for, and stay on that. Because that really ends up being, you know, the designated highway through town.
Okay.
Any comments from the public? Having none, Transportation Committee?
Yeah, we met on this, and with the issues we've had with the streets and turning off of Washington Street, we feel that at least for now, it's better to have a not be the truck route. I will introduce ordinance number 2528.
An ordinance to amend the Blair City Municipal Code to amend Chapter 5, Article 3, Section 5-203, amending the applicable City Municipal Code sections, generally repealing all ordinances of parts of ordinance conflict herewith, providing this ordinance to be in full force and effect and published in pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading of the three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. An ordinance to amend the Blair City Municipal Code to amend Chapter 5, Article 3, Section 5-203, amending the applicable City Municipal Code sections, generally repealing all ordinance parts of ordinance conflict herewith, providing when this ordinance should be in full force and effect and published in pamphlet form.
I move final passage of Ordinance 2528.
Second.
Question.
The question now before the council is, shall ordinance number 2528 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2528 duly adopted. Item number 9, consider resolution 2024-34 to terminate the City of Blair as declarant of covenants enacted for Transformation Hill Addition, lots 28 through 57, inclusive, and authorize staff to file a notice of termination of status as declarant to send a copy of such notice to property owners of lots 28 through 57. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, council members. It came to our attention again recently that these particular lots that are up, especially on Craigshe Boulevard, all have some covenants that were established. That you know, keep in mind, these were lots that were originally laid out and designed by the City of Blair, working with some local developers with the intention of trying to get some additional residential lots built here in town. You know, back when this was done, I think our hope and expectation was if most of the lots could get sold and built on within 7 to 10 years, we'd be happy. We're 4 years down the road and all of them are pretty much built on or committed to. covenants are kind of a unique thing. We did it originally because we wanted to maintain and have kind of a little bit higher standard for those particular lots. We were going to be prepared to enforce those, even though typically municipalities don't enforce covenants that are out there. But since we were the original landowners, we had the ability to go ahead and do that. The covenants that were established clearly declare us to be that declarant. We're the ones that basically are overseeing it, although, as with any covenants, any individual property owner within that area can strive through the civil courts to enforce those covenants. But it also gave an out that that ultimately the City of Blair at any time could basically file notice against those properties, notify the property owners that we were removing ourselves as the declarant, and basically going back to what would be standard for any other subdivision that would have covenants, and that is we don't enforce them directly, and that ends up being a civil issue. And so I guess our request tonight, since we've got all the lots have houses on them, the final two, one has a house that's being built, and has actually been closed on, so it's not in the City of Blair's name. There's only one lot left that's in the city of Blair's name. It already has a foundation on it, which is the way that they've been doing all of those lots up there. They've allowed the developer to get started on it, and then they would close sometime during construction or towards the time that they're going to sell it. So I guess our recommendation to you is that you might approve this resolution tonight. The resolution authorizes city staff then to go ahead and file a notice of removing this, terminating this status of declarant, and then we'll notify all the property owners as well. Again, the covenants still exist. It's just going to be up to them then to try to enforce them.
Phil, why now and not when the last one is built?
You know, I think the covenants talked about when the city of Blair didn't own them anymore. It's just kind of a unique arrangement that the city had entered into with those lots, where they would allow somebody to actually start building on a lot that we still owned. Normally you would close on it right away before they would start construction. So, you know, I think closing is imminent, that the first of the two houses that are being built by this particular individual, it's for sale. It's got a for sale sign in the front yard now. His history has been, once he sells one, he'll start framing the other one as well. Usually at that point in time, they're going to close on it because the banks don't like to have, you know, too much of their money invested in somebody else's lot. So again, we don't necessarily have to do it right now, but you know, I think from staff's perspective, we get it done now, we'll get it all kind of off our hands and back to the property owners.
Any questions for Mr. Green? Any comments from the public?
I'll introduce resolution number 2024-34.
Resolution number 2024-34 was introduced by Council Member Willis to terminate the City of Blair's declarant of covenants enacted for Transformation Hill, addition lots 28 through 57, inclusive, and authorized staff file notice of termination of status as declarant and to send a copy of such notice to property owners of lots 28 through 57.
Make a motion to adopt resolution number 2024-34 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2024-34 as presented. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 10, consider the bids received for the mastic and crack sealing project.
First of all, I'd like to receive and place on file the bids for Majestic and crack sealing project.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to receive and place on file the bids for the mastic and crack sealing. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Thank you. Mr. Heaton.
Thank you, Mayor. Before you are some bids that we received on the mastic and crack sealing project that we presented several meetings ago to go out for bid. And what's kind of unique about this item and the next two actually is, in the past, what has been done with the streets, there's been about $400,000 allocated to mill and overlay asphalt streets, which came out to about 20 blocks each year. What we've decided to do this year is change it up a little bit and take a different approach, I guess, than just doing 20 blocks of mill and overlay. Mark Hodson and Will Kubi have gotten a list together. The streets that need mill and overlay, and ones that we can try some other approaches on just to change things up a little bit. So this first one is for the mastic and crack sealing in the bids that we've received. What we're recommending is to do Group A and Group C. With To the T Construction, which the total comes out to $69,045. This will do the mastic and crack sealing from the viaduct to the Missouri River Bridge on Highway 30. This contractor says that they can start on May 1st, and we're hoping to do less than a week project if weather holds and everything goes well. Any questions or anything?
Do we have any experience with that contractor?
We have not here in town. John Newberry, the engineer with JEO, has done checked their references basically, and they're newer to doing this, but they have some experience doing this mastic, and the supplier, one of their representatives, is going to be on site the whole time they're doing it to make sure that it's being installed or apply it properly.
And is there some sort of a guarantee slash warranty if it's not?
That I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I can double check that.
Typically, they usually come with a 1 year warranty, so we'll double check that.
Any concerns on the wild variability in the bids here?
Yeah, that's just my concern.
And the, well, not just in the low bidder, but the difference in the different packages and the opinion of probable cost.
Correct. And
not that this isn't the first meeting we've had trouble with the bid estimates this year.
And we had, JDO had reached out to the contractor again to clarify that their numbers were, that they understood the assignment and that their numbers were correct. And they said yes. Since they're newer, I think they're, you know, a little more hungry to get the job, and so the prices were a little lower.
Well, I mean, my point would be in Group C.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy different, as well as...
Our hunch is that there was a typo, but that's what they turned their bid in.
Okay.
The 3,000, are you talking about?
Yeah, and then just, you know, D, there's three times difference between A and, you know, the first bid and the third, so it just makes me nervous. Not that this guy is not the low bidder is the problem. It's the problem, are we putting out a bid package that people understand what we're asking for?
Correct.
Does this mean the highway is going to be shut down one lane, flagman, or how's that?
It'll be one lane at a time, and there'll be flaggers and, you know, blocking that.
And how long does it take?
From what we, Lowell's done some projects like this, we're hoping two or three days, so hopefully we can get this done in a week. It's pretty quick. It's just very similar to the tarring that our guys do every week. And then, like I did mention, we're kind of tying this into what we used to do, the mill and overlay. So the other items, at the end of the day, will add up to that total budget amount that we budgeted every year for asphalt and street repair.
And CJ, when the motion is made, is it to the T construction? Because here we have T3 construction, but is it to the T? Is that the name of it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine. I just want to make sure it's you're awarding the correct person. Thank you. Any comments from the public? Transportation Committee.
We met on this, and there's several things on the agenda here. They're all going to be tied together under one of the budget items we've had in the past, and trying some new products and trying some different things to hopefully last longer than the things we've been doing in the past, like just filling these holes with the cold pack and you know, the right situation, the cold pack pounded out of there in 2 days. So hopefully this will... it's new, we're trying it, or we want to try it just to see if it lasts, and if it does, it could be a big benefit to the street department and all the things they have to do, and along with several of these other agenda items here. So our recommendation is that we would award the bid for the mastic and crack ceiling to Project 2 to the T construction in the amount of $69,045.
Second. We have a motion, a second, to award the bid for the mastic and crack ceiling to the T construction. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 11, consider the proposal from Pave LLC for asphalt rejuvenation. Mr. Heaton.
So as Mr. Sample alluded to, we're trying some new approaches this year. The second item here on the streets is through Pave LLC. It's an asphalt rejuvenation product. It's a liquid spray. It's a chemical that will basically soak into the asphalt and give it back some of the elasticity, so it'll move rather than dry up and crack. They're claiming that it'll increase the life of the street up to 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. And what they'd like to do is come in and do streets that are been milled and overlaid 3 or 4 years ago. So they don't want anything that's brand new, but if something is too old, their product's not going to work on it, they won't do it. This company, I don't think, has done any work in town. They did do some patchwork on the runway at the airport, and they do several airports throughout the South. They know they've done all of Atlanta's airport, and they do a lot of Air Force bases. So this project is approved by the FAA and the Air Force. And I know locally, the Costco down in La Vista, that they did. And I know I went down and checked it out. It looks great, and they did it a year ago. So what our proposal here is about six, seven blocks. Their fee, just $28,526 to do those blocks. As you can see, we've got them in the map. Nebraska Street from 16th to 13th, 16th Street from Park, and about a block and a half north, give or take. Colfax from 16th to 14th, and then 15th, one block south of Colfax. They'll be in and out in one day. You can drive on this as soon as the product's dry.
One day per location?
I'm guessing if they can get moved over to the other side of town, they could be in and out of town in one day.
So when we mill, put down new asphalt, how long is that supposed to last?
What do you have to answer on that?
10 to 15 years.
So then by doing this, we're supposed to get another 5 to 7 on top of 10 to 15?
Yep.
Okay.
And we could reapply this in 5 to 7 years if we're satisfied with it and try to keep, you know, extending that life. And I know Lowell and Mark have talked about the streets that they've milled and overlaid, but you should get that 10 plus years, and it doesn't. So.
Are we going to notify homeowners that this isn't going to be able to be driven on for a year or a year a day?
Yeah, we'll tell them it was you said a year.
Can you drive on it right away?
No.
You have to let it dry. Because it'll stick to your tires. And
okay.
What they said is this is jet black day. So if you pull into your nice concrete driveway, you're going to leave black tire tracks.
How long does it take to dry?
By the end of the day.
By the end of the day.
Yeah,
okay.
Depending on the weather, maybe faster.
Okay.
But from the conversations Lowell and I had with the company, that this is a really quick process, and they'll be able to knock this out.
Will the neighbors in that vicinity be notified ahead of time that this is happening?
Yeah, well, when we get the schedule, we'll give them plenty of warning, door hangers, or if we have to send something to the house mail, we'll make sure that they're aware of it.
When are they doing it?
We haven't scheduled it yet.
Okay. The only reason I'm asking is schools are in 16th area and Nebraska Street area-ish.
Okay. We can take that and do it over the summer when school's out.
You guys learned a lot at Asphalt University.
We did. We paid attention.
Which blocks are we going to use heat treatment on?
We didn't get that far yet.
Any other questions for Mr. Heaton? Any comments from the public? Having none.
The Transportation Committee met on this, and felt for that cost, if we can, you know, for the over for grinding and overlaying, it's approximately $20,000 per block. If we can extend that life 5 to 7 years on six blocks, it seems like a pretty good deal and at least worth a shot. Rick and so it'll take them a day to do that street. They'll start in the morning. The day closure is just till when that street is dry. So it won't be closed overnight or anything like that. It's just once it's dry, they'll pull all of it, and then people can drive on it.
Would you like to make a motion?
Sure.
He's been gone.
Yeah, no. I would like to make a motion to accept the proposal from Pave LLC for asphalt rejuvenation in the amount of $28,526.
Second.
We have a motion, a second, to accept the proposal from Pave LLC for asphalt rejuvenation. Please register your vote.
Long Council Members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 12, consider plans and specifications and authorization to go out for bid for the 2024 asphalt resurfacing project. Mr. Heaton.
Thank you. Okay, so this is the traditional mill and overlay that you used to see in every year. As I mentioned, typically they've done about 20 blocks, which is about $400,000, which is what is budgeted this year. With the other two items, we're scaling this back from the typical 20 blocks to about 15, is what we think we can get done with the remaining $305,000, give or take, that's left after the other two projects. So what Mark and Lowell worked really hard to find the streets that they identified that need to be milled and overlaid. And our approach this year is to try to keep those all bunched together rather than a block, one part of town, two blocks, and another part. So what our proposal tonight is Park Street from 19th to 10th Street, and then 10th Street just north of Jackson, basically to the city limits on the north end of town. And then we also have a alternate in the bid that we go out to do this alley behind City Hall, and Stub Street, 21st, it's about a half a block long, just south of Davis Drive. Up behind the Catholic Church. Right now it's mostly rock and millings, and every time it rains it washes out, and the guys got to clean that up, get some complaints. So we're going to just hopefully be able to get all of that this year.
I don't know that you can answer this, but it doesn't this seem a little bit later than what we've done in years past to send out bids?
We are, I think, a month behind what typically was done. And most of that's, we were, with me coming on new, I think Al had done it before, sent the bids out in December or January. And then I think 1 year it was in March. But we were also waiting to get the MASTIC bids back so we knew exactly how much budget we had left to go for.
They had to graduate too.
Yeah, we had. Our hope was more blocks, the cheaper the price.
Exactly. Straight run for
them. Yeah, we're hoping that these are two straight runs that are real close to each other, cut down on those mobilization costs, and be a quick, easy job.
Yep. In and out.
Any questions?
Any comments from the public? Having none. Transportation Committee?
Transportation Committee did meet on this, and we feel that putting it out for bid is appropriate. Knowing that we're going to try a few other projects and scale back the budget on this. So I would make a motion to approve plans and specifications and authorization to go out for bid for the 2024 asphalt resurfacing project.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve plans and specifications and authorization to go out for bid for the 2024 asphalt resurfacing project. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 13, consider the bids received for the parking lot paving project at Generations Park.
I'd like to make a motion to receive and place on file the bids for the parking lot paving project at Generations Park.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to receive and place on file the bids for the parking lot paving project at Generations Park. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Mr. Heaton.
Thank you. Pretty straightforward. Staff had gone out to get bids for the parking lot at Generations Park, and you can see the bids on the screen. We received three bids. Yost Construction was $68,380. Schroeder Concrete was $83,885, and Lexus was $86,841. I've worked with Mark and Lowell. We kind of came up with a bid spec sheet based on the plans for the parking lot. Sent those out, and we got these three bids back. As you guys remember, I think Phil talked about putting bids out for the park. We broke some of these other, you know, parts of the project out to save cost. The utility guys have been working this week on getting the water and sewer lines roughed in, so hopefully that's all done by the end of this week. The parking lot, the plan is to work with the contractor to do this later in the summer, if not early fall. So this will probably be one of the last things done on the project.
Any other questions for Mr. Heaton?
Do we have experience with the OSA?
We talked about that with the Transportation Committee. I don't know that they have done anything in Blair, but I think Phil had some work with them in Pavilion.
Well, that was a different Yost. This is a relatively newer company, but it's a Blair-based company. So, and we've heard some good reports about that. So,
I just never heard of them, so that's why I asked.
Any comments from the public? Transportation Committee, you're up again.
I know. It's been a busy day. We did meet on this. We do know, or I know who the Yosts are. It's the son of the Yost that took over the company. So it is a fairly new company in his name, but his dad is around, and they've done a lot of work in the past few years, but trying to get bigger. And so I'm sure that's why they're a little lower. They're hungry for work. So we would make a motion to award the bid for the parking lot paving project at Generations Park to Yost Construction in the amount of $68,380.
Second. We have a motion and a second to award the bid for parking lot paving at Generations Park to Yost Construction. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 14, consider amendment number 4 to the water treatment plant expansion project. Mr. Heaton, we're getting your exercise. Stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down.
Okay, thank you. Amendment 4 to the water treatment plant expansion project is essentially to give HDR some more contractual room to help with construction administration. With me coming on in the middle of some of these projects, the engineers would have to do a little bit more of the heavy lifting. And this is specifically tied to the 3-inch industrial line going to Cargill. There was a change order that changed the pipe from ductile iron to HDPE, which required a new permit with the railroad. And so HDR helped navigate that whole process and get that permit approved, which we got verbal approval last week that has been allowed. So we hope work to continue, pick up again on that, and continue in the next couple weeks.
Is it going to be HDP? It's going to be sleeved under the railroad, or be?
Yeah, so under the railroad, all of the bores like under the railroad and the high will be cased in steel casing.
Yeah, okay.
With the HDP inside that. It's pretty thick stuff. I don't think it's going to go
anywhere. Well, after we spent $250,000 on a floor drain, this seems like reasonable.
Any other questions for Mr. Heaton? Any comments from the public? Having none, a new committee, water and sewer. Did you meet?
We did meet and discussed it. Mr. Heaton did lay out some good points with some of the things going on, some of the issues at hand, getting the boring under the railroad, needing to get the new permits and such, and some other items that have been run into, but we agree that, such as what Brad said, we think this is a nominal fee to get this taken care of, so we would approve it. I would like to make a recommendation or approve amendment number 4 to the water treatment plant expansion project with HDR in the amount of $34,700.
That sounded like a motion. I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second to approve amendment number 4 to the water treatment plant expansion with HDR. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Mr. Green.
Hey, Mayor. Just a couple things to report to you. Number one is, and you have some handouts in front of you tonight, so I just want to draw those to your attention. We have a flyer that now has been prepared, so it's a trifold flyer that is going to be sent out in the mail to registered voters in the city of Blair that have voted in any of the last several elections That will be going out, kind of helping to explain the two ballot questions. So we're calling this initiative Two Questions, One Future, dealing with both the reauthorization of LB 840 and our economic development program, as well as then the request for to the citizens to allow us to collect another 1.5 cent sales tax for various infrastructure projects. So all of this has been prepared by Gateway Development Corporation. They're the ones that are allowed to not only explain kind of what's going on, and we provided them the information, but also to encourage support for those activities. So again, this was done by Gateway. There are some posters that are available as well that deal with the 1.5 cent sales tax and again the LB 840 program. I've got a few extra copies up here as well, so I'll leave them over here by the agendas if anyone wants to pick those up. This information is available on the city's website as well, and there's also a link on the city's website that goes to Gateway's site, which has maybe a little bit more deeper explanation and encouragement for individuals. Mike Rooks, the mayor, and I have started then to take the opportunity to go out and speak with various civic clubs and groups and any other people that are willing to listen to us and invite us over. So I guess I would encourage all of you as well to utilize your networks as best as you can to encourage the citizens of Blair to become informed about these two big issues. I think they're both very, very critical for us to move forward and to kind of get accomplished the big things that we really would like to do and see happen in the community in the days to come. So more on that. The election is coming up on May 14th. For individuals who feel like they might be out of town or something like that, early voting is available now. They can also request absentee ballots and get those sent to them as well. So we encourage the citizens just to be actively involved in taking opportunities with those two initiatives. A couple other things to bring to your attention. This coming Friday is at 11:30 a.m. is going to be the second meeting for the Housing Advisory Committee. So I know some of you are involved specifically on that. It is open to the public, so if people would like to come, again, it starts at 11:30 in this particular room. This particular meeting, we're going to be talking about subdivision financing and how that affects what we're able to do here in Blair. Compare that a little bit with how subdivision financing is done in other larger metropolitan areas. And then we'll talk a little bit about some potential subdivision sites and give them some kind of homework to be working on in preparation for the following meeting. Again, going forward, these will always be meeting then on the second Friday of the month at 11:30. And we anticipate probably going through June, something like that. Then finally, I just wanted to remind all of you that the next fifth Tuesday meeting, special meeting of the council, is coming up on April 30th of this month. Again, this is another public meeting. It's open to the public, so you're invited to come if you'd like. The special topic that we're going to be addressing this particular time is priority-based budgeting and how that might affect what we do as a city in planning on our annual budgets. We're way too late in the process this year to actually do an official priority-based budget, but we're going to kind of begin to lay out the groundwork. Staff is working very diligently right now to begin to put together a little bit of framework that will allow us to have some conversations. Basically, for your sake, for sake of the public, again, it's here. Priority-based budgeting is just a different approach. Instead of the traditional governmental approach where it's incremental and every line item just simply goes up 5% or 7%, whatever the case may be, and then you maybe make a few minor tweaks from that perspective. But what you end up trying to do is take all of the programs and services that are offered by the various departments throughout the city and boil all the costs down for each of those programs and services, and then allow you as the elected officials to have a real good discussion and conversation about what services you feel like are lacking and need further attention, what services maybe we don't need anymore, and are there other services that we aren't providing that maybe other communities do, and what might those costs begin to look like. So this is kind of an introduction to that concept. If you're excited about it afterwards, it will be something that we can continue to delve into. From the communities that I've witnessed and the sessions that I've sat in on when I've gone to some national conferences, this is a multi-year process of kind of getting this program up and running and moving forward in a very efficient way. So priority-based budgeting, and then we'll also talk a little bit that night about implementing a CIP or a capital improvement plan program going forward, which ultimately really provides all of you as the elected officials a greater opportunity to look longer term and talk about some big capital needs, whether they're facility needs or equipment needs here in the community. One other thing, and I'll take any questions that you have, just want those who are in attendance to know that we're going to have an executive session coming up after this. Number one, I would ask that people sit here and still listen and wait. The council has some activities that they have to do to officially go into the executive session, and so there's some motions, and the mayor has some statements that need to be read and then passed on. The executive session, it will state exactly what the intent is. Everyone's going to be asked to leave the room at that point in time, but no actions will be done during that executive session. And then the council will reconvene in the public and come back out of the executive session. There will not be any other agenda items after this, so you won't be missing any activities if you would leave. But the citizens are invited to stay in the area if they want to. You can go up in the front of City Hall if you wanted to technically wait until everything is reconvened after the executive session. So, any questions that you have for me on any activities that are going on in town?
I notice this is a mailer, so this is going to be mailed out?
Yes, so that's the actual flyer that's going to be mailed out to, like I said, the registered voters. We kind of made the decision to not send it to every household in town, but to do those who are more likely to be involved in the campaign.
Will these all be available at the front desk?
Yes, they're all available here. You know, we're trying to be very careful and abide by the appropriate legislative rules. Technically, from a municipal standpoint, we can educate people, we can let them know the facts. The materials were all prepared though by Gateway, because Gateway is the ones that can ask people to actually support a particular campaign. So we're a little careful even about posting things out front. In fact, if you look at the bulletin board, I cut off the little please vote for this thing from each of those flyers, just to let them know that, you know, we're here to kind of share facts and figures and let people know what important role both of these programs either do play or could play. But yes, the materials here available, and if you'd like to get additional ones so that you can hand out to other people, feel free to do that. Again, you have a unique role as elected officials. Technically, as members of the council, you're not supposed to be promoting this either, but you are individuals in the community and you're elected representatives, so in your individual statuses, you know, you can be proponents of this as you're out talking to people.
I remember this study that Mike and we did on the retail coach stuff, because it tracks your cell phone.
Yeah. Right?
So it knows that, because we were trying to figure out what other stores would be something we could recruit to the community. And that was part of Gateway when I was sitting on that board. It was really interesting to see how many people went to Walmart than to Shields.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, oh, we thought potentially that was, you know, something we could look for a sporting goods store to recruit back to Blair. And this is stunning. And should be the headline when we're talking about this in the newspaper, is 82% of people that shop at Walmart are not from Blair.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, during that period, that means that, again, work in this community and don't live here are going to be paying the majority of the sales tax and help pay for our improvements. So, and thank you very much for the visit.
Ultimately, you're looking for, and it's one of the benefits that Blair has seen over the last couple decades,
yeah,
is that we're becoming more of a retail local hub for this part of Nebraska. And so, yeah, it's a great opportunity to allow others who don't live here to continue to support the things that we need. And a lot of this is transportation related as well.
Is there a reason we don't have a more recent study, or just that, because this is 21-22?
On the housing piece or on?
No, on the retail stuff. Study that was done that was part of recruitment for businesses.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't ideally right here, but the data presented
actually the dates are based on the data when it was collected. Then yeah, the company that analyzes it has to do all their analysis. So I think he just got this last year or earlier this year in 23.
Okay.
But it's all data from 21-22.
Okay.
Yeah. So it just takes, it's kind of like census data. It takes a while to process it all. Mm-hmm. Any additional questions for me? Again, otherwise, I'll put these couple posters up here next to where the agendas are. And then again, as I said earlier to the public, there'll be an executive session coming up, so allow the council to do the work that they need to do to officially go into that.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Item number 16. Executive session for the protection of the public interest due to possible litigation involving the City of Blair.
I'll make what do I want to do? Motion, go into executive session at 7:55 to discuss possible litigation involving the city of Blair and to preserve the attorney-client privilege.
A motion has been made. Oops, sorry. And it has now been seconded to go into executive session for the limited purpose to discuss possible litigation involving the city of Blair and to preserve the attorney-client privilege. Please register your vote.
This should only be an hour, guys, so if you want to step out, we'll sign your stuff when we get back in. Is that okay?
Motion passes. It has been carried to go into executive session.
We'll make a motion to come out of executive session and reconvene as city council at 8:02 p.m.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to come out of executive session at 8:02. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
The motion to come out of executive session at 8:02 is carried. It was limited to the following subjects: discussing litigation involving the city of Blair and to preserve the attorney-client privilege.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting.
Did you?
Please register your vote.
Use your switch.
Aye.
I thought Rick was
closing
his
last meeting. I want to go all board.
Motion passes. Okay. Meeting adjourned. December.